Oh, they were veering right around 100. They had gotten down running between, I'd say mainly between 80 and 90, and then there were some occasional bounces with activity and so forth to 100 up until the time of that this problem occurred. Their rates at the time when they actually made the decision to come back in, we don't really know what they were at that time. They were, at the last that we saw them, they were up at slightly above the 100 mark, between 100 and 105 or 10. And we don't know what they were at the actual time because it occurred when they were not over a station. So I can't tell you what it was at the moment that they decided to come back in.
Jim Malloy.
What time do you plan now to undock, and what time now will the EVA begin?
The EVA is currently about the original time we carried it in the original flight plan. I'm trying to recall the numbers, and it's 47 plus 30. I would have to back off a couple of revs from that to say that's about the point that we would undock. We should be co-elliptic at that point and starting into our terminal phase.
I'd like to ask Dr. Berry what the respiration rates were during the stand-up.
During the stand-up, they were, Mike varied between 12 and 16. He never got over 16 any of the time during that period.
And what's normal for him?
He runs, well, again, it's a hard thing to say. If you're just sitting, resting, well, he'll run somewhere between 10 and 12. So his respiration rate wasn't up at all.
Now, I'd like to ask Mr. Schneider, why did Deke Slayton encourage more conversation, and why didn't they comply?
I think they did comply. I think on this last rev, why we had considerable conversation. I myself should make one observation, and that is, while this crew has been a little bit silent, sort of reminiscent of some of the earlier flights, why when there was a problem, there was no hesitation on their part to talk and to describe it fully. So at least that part of the operation went well. As far as what Deke asked the crew to do, we felt that we wanted a little more description of what normal events were.
Okay, over here.
Bill Normoff, Aviation Week. In view of the concern with the silence of the crew, let me ask a nasty question. Have we heard here today everything that you heard today?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And it's not concerned with the silence of the crew.
Oh. as of now, are all the events that were planned for the umbilical EVA still in the plan?
Yes.
Dave Davis, over here.
Where does this lithium hydroxide come from that you mentioned in the eye trouble, the ECF?
You want to talk about that? Yeah.
There's a lithium hydroxide canister. It is actually in the ECS suit loop, and its function for being there is to take the CO2. It's a CO2 absorber is what it is.
Art Hill?
Could you tell us where the spacecraft was, its geographic location at the time of the French bomb test earlier today, and is there any possibility with the radiation monitoring equipment on board that you could make some kind of measurements from that test? Does the spacecraft pass over the area of the test later on?
The position of the spacecraft at the time of the test was over the Western Atlantic. As far as the radiation equipment, I think Dr. Berry can comment on that better than I.
Well, there will be some measure on board of any radiation dosage received there, but there have been some there's constant monitoring of the South American anomaly, and there's no noted increase in radiation there, so apparently this is all at a ground level, right. Not an altitude burst. That's all I can tell you at the moment because I don't know any more about that burst.
You're going to keep checking it as we go.
Yeah.
Jeff Thompson.
I understand the ion wake experiment perhaps is back in the picture. When would this occur, and how many times would you do this with smaller amounts of thrust, which is the proposed way of performing it?
excuse me. The F-26 will be partially done, the Mode A part. When we do the final separation from the Agena, we'll do the linear mapping portion of that test.
So there will only be one separation burn.
That's correct.
However, we are exploring a degraded mode of getting some additional information on that experiment by doing a transverse at the same time we're doing a lateral separation, which would give the experiment a little more information.
Okay, let's just take one or more two questions here. We have a number of people waiting at the Cape, and we need to go down there, so let's take this.
Couple of questions. The EVA seemed to end abruptly. Was that related in any way to the eye problem? And secondly, for Glenn, is the eye problem or the fuel problem the greater constraint to umbilical EVA? Which concerned you the most?
The astronauts were directed not to look at the ground. We had previously determined that this being a surface burst would have no effect on our on the upper altitudes, and therefore we're not concerned from that standpoint. However, since there is no experience on what eye damage there might be from observing a nuclear blast from a spacecraft, we just took the precautionary measure of saying don't even bother to look, just pure precaution.
Okay, let's go to the Cape for questions now.
We seem to get an abrupt termination here on the EVA, stand EVA. I wondered if that might be related to the eye problem in any way. And secondly, is the eye problem or the fuel problem a greater constraint to the umbilical EVA? Which concerns you the most?
To the first part of the question, yes, it did have an impact on the EVA. That is the reason we terminated. They were having eye irritation, and both command pilot and pilot, and they decided to call it a day on the EVA and get Mike back in and repress. The second part of the question, I would say at this point that the greatest constraint on the umbilical EVA right now is probably the propellant remaining. As we've said before, we feel that this problem with the eye irritation will go away. It is decreasing. So I would say the biggest constraint right now is the fuel, but we feel like we have a reasonable chance of making that.
There have been a number of references to the high rate of oxygen flow as a result of these eye irritations. Is this the reason for this, the fact that the higher rate of oxygen flow will dilute any foreign substances, and if that's not so, what would be the reason?
The higher rate is we requested the crew to go on O2 high rate for a short period of time in order to essentially purge the suit circuit, and that's the purpose.
It shuts out the lithium hydroxide from the circuit entirely if you go to O2 high rate. And therefore, it was a means to test whether you were getting something from there, too.
If you would use the normal available amount of propellant as 100%, can you give us an idea in percentages of how much you have available now? And also, can you tell us definitely what experiments will have to be dropped for sure?
Let me discuss the experiments first.
we feel like we will probably have to drop at least part of the S-26, although, as Mr. Snyder points out, there's still a possibility we may be able to do something in the way of the transverse mapping on that situation. The S-13, we have gotten some data during the EVA portion of the flight. We expect to get some data on D-5. In fact, we expect right now to get as many runs on D-5 as we had originally planned, although some of them will have to be docked. We're going to have a try at that. S-12, as I pointed out earlier, we thought we might have heard something concerning S-12, but I don't know whether that's true or not. But as when we went into the EVA, we expected to be able to do S-12, obviously. S-10, we still hope to do with the aid of Gina. S-1, we plan to do. S-5 and 6, we had planned to do during this EVA, and we were not able to do. MSC 6, 7, and 3 are being done. We see no problem with that. MSC 12, which I believe is the land contrast photography, we don't think we'll be able to do that because of fuel limitations. MSC 8, we think we got some data on that during the EVA. The second part of your question in percentage, we started out with 940, and we're right now at 375. What percentage is that? About 36%, I think.
Now, I'm not talking about the amount of fuel you have left compared to what you went up there with. I mean, compared to what you should normally have now, approximately what percent is available?
I would say about 60%. Now, but let me point out that in the original budget, we had budgeted something like 255 pounds, excuse me, for the terminal phase of the dual rendezvous, that is from transfer to killing of relative motion. Now, this was including some dispersions numbers, which we had thrown in, one sigma and two sigma numbers. We had a minimum cost in the plan of 155, I believe. We feel like we at least have a pretty good chance of making this, although we don't have the pad that we would like to have.
Yes, yeah. You know, a little bit better, it's almost not very in the studio.